Live Creative Now, episode 15.
Welcome to Live Creative Now with Melissa Dinwiddie, a weekly podcast to inspire you to create your art and share your work, because that's how you will change the world.
Hey, brilliant. This is Live Creative Now, and I'm Melissa Dinwiddie, passion pluralite artist, happiness catalyst, and creativity instigator, here to address all your questions about living a full-color creative life. In this episode, I answer a question from Mandy about maintaining balance during times of overwork. Oh yeah, we have all been there. Before we get on to today's topic, though, a word from our sponsor. This episode is sponsored by the Erase the Chaos Toolkit. If you feel overworked and overwhelmed, which we're going to be talking about during this episode, if you feel like there's no time to do the things you love, that is what I call living life in black and white. We need white space to let our full color lives blossom. And the good news is that you can get from chaos and overwhelm and overwork to the kind of full color life your heart really longs for. I am the poster child. I have done it. You can do it too. You just need the right tools. The Erase the Chaos Toolkit I created in order to help you hone in on the specific causes of your time crunch chaos and give you the tools you need to clear your plate and make space for creative joy. Liberate white space. Inside the toolkit, you will discover the truth about your mile-long to-do list. And yes, I know you have one. You will discover three quick erasers to create more white space today. You'll learn the truth that nobody tells you about time management. A little hint, it's a lie. You will learn how to hone in on what is most important so you can let go of the rest. And you will learn the one tool that has the power to change everything in your life for the better, and a lot more, too. The Erase the Chaos Toolkit includes a 99-page PDF ebook illustrated with artwork by me, and an 18-page companion workbook with worksheets and printable charts to hang on your wall, and a mini poster of no scripts, scripts for how to say no gracefully, intended for you to post on the wall to keep by your phone and your computer. So when you get requests for your time, you will know exactly how to say no. Here is what Kathy had to say about the toolkit. She writes, "I'm almost done reading Melissa's new book, and I'm printing out the workbook tomorrow. I already feel more white space and a lot less anxious about my to-do list. I highly recommend getting this toolkit if you are always trying to get organized or feel like you're under a time crunch. Thank you so much, Melissa. It came at the exact right time." Yay! I'm so glad, Kathy. Thank you so much for writing those words about the toolkit. If you want to get those kinds of results for yourself and start liberating white space in your life today, you can get your very own copy at bit.ly/erase-chaos. That is bit.ly/erase-chaos. bit.ly/erase-chaos. And now on with today's episode. So Mandy asked a great question in a comment on a blog post. So in order for you to get a little context around the question, I am going to share with you the first part of this blog post, and I'll leave a link in the show notes if you want to read the rest of the blog post. So it starts off talking about the fact that not so long ago, There was a time when I really did not like my life. I seriously didn't like my life. I worked way too hard. I got way too little sleep. I was constantly berating myself for not being perfect. And basically, I didn't treat myself very well. I remember my constant lament was, this is not what I want my life to look like. Now, I didn't have the words at the time to call it a black and white life. I didn't have the words to talk about a full color life, but that's what I wanted. And that is what I did not have. I had a black and white life. I did not have the full color life that I really wanted. And I remember I was really grateful for the blessings that I did have, which were a ton. I mean, don't let me fool you. I was very, very blessed, but I was just worn out. And I am happy to say that in the years since then, I have made enormous strides in creating a life that I love, really, truly love. A full color life, a big, bold, creative life in which I am feeding my creative hungers regularly and pursuing my goals without sucking myself dry, at least most of the time. So, what changed between then and now? What changed that led me from being, you know, grumbly and feeling crappy and living a black and white life to loving my life? Well, as I wrote in this blog post, of course, certainly, having a husband who really champions and supports me really helps. I am not going to lie. However, the fact remains that each of us is 100% responsible for our own happiness. And yes, all kinds of things will conspire to make us unhappy. We get to choose how we respond to that, right? And I have done so much work internally and externally to change my life around. So when I wrote this blog post, which was back in October of 2014, I made a partial list off the top of my head of what I have worked on in the past several years that has made a difference. And the operative phrase here is worked on. I'm still working on these things. These are definitely works in progress. But here is my list that I wrote at this time. First of all, I make time to feed my creative hungers. Even if it is just a few minutes, I make time. I have realized that that is critical to my health and happiness. So that's number one. Number two, I developed my creative sandbox rules, my metaphor of the creative sandbox, the rules that keep me creating, my keys to creative flow. I regularly implement those. They are absolutely key. And if you are not yet a member of my creative uprising, if you're not yet an insider, just go to my website, melissadinwiddie.com, sign up, and you will get a free poster of my keys to creative flow, my creative sandbox rules, and my imperfectionist manifesto as well. And that's, again, melissadinwiddie.com. You can get your free poster. The third thing is I started meditating regularly. And this is something that I resisted for my entire life because I thought, I suck at meditation. I can't possibly clear my mind. Well, thankfully, I was somehow introduced to Susan Piver and her wonderful Open Heart Project. And she's an incredible meditation teacher. I cannot recommend her highly enough. And I was thankfully open to hearing what she and many, many other meditation teachers teach, which is that meditation is not about clearing your mind of thought. It is about noticing when your mind is getting distracted from your intention to focus on your breath, in this case, and then gently, with self-compassion, gently bringing yourself back to focus on your breath. Anyway, I started meditating regularly. I still do that. It's made a huge difference. The fourth thing is I finally built regular exercise into my day, daily exercise, and I am really lazy So the way that I have built regular exercise into my day is that I have a treadmill desk. I, in fact, right this very moment, I am sitting on a stool that is sitting on top of my treadmill. I have a cheap treadmill that I hacked. I have a desk that my husband and I turned into a standing desk that's an IKEA. It's all IKEA parts. I wrote about it on my blog post. I will link to that. I have a blog post about how we hacked this whole treadmill desk setup. We'll link to that in the show notes. So I walk every day. Usually it's at least an hour and a half. Well, it depends on the week. Sometimes it's only an hour a day, sort of average. But often it's 3 or 4 hours a day that I'm walking. And not only has that improved my mood and, you know, I'm just in better shape, but it has also dramatically reduced my back pain because I did not realize how much sitting was killing my back. And they now say that sitting is the new smoking. That's how unhealthy it is for you. So the treadmill desk has changed everything, dramatically improved my quality of life. So this is number four. Number five, for over 2 years now, coming up on 3 years now, I have been getting chiropractic and samurai massage. Yes, samurai massage. It's not, doesn't always feel good. Very, very intense massage every 2 weeks, sometimes three if I'm traveling or something. That has made an enormous difference, dramatically improved my quality of life, helped with my back pain. I have scoliosis, so I have continual, the same back issues over and over again. And the committing to, it is expensive, but committing to getting chiropractic and massage every 2 weeks has been huge. So that's number five. Number six, I'm finally getting to bed at a reasonable hour, which means that I'm getting more sleep in general. I'm also insomniac, so I do struggle with that. But I, in general, sleep so much better. The quality of my sleep is better because my circadian rhythms are such that my body is happiest when I get to bed. Well, my body would really like me to get to bed by 10. Sometimes I actually do. That's the miraculous thing. Even if it's 11, like that for me now is my sort of late reasonable bedtime. When I get to bed after that, that is now late for me. Not that long ago, 2 a.m. was my set point and it was killing me. Now, if you're a late night person, 2 a.m. might make you feel ideal. That might be your optimal time to go to bed, but not for me. So finally getting to bed earlier has been huge. Let's see. These are not numbered on the blog post. I'm reading them off the blog posts. That was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Number seven, I am so proud of this. I hold myself to a more human standard when it comes to how much I expect myself to accomplish in a day, in a week, in a month. I was sort of notorious for holding myself to superhuman standards. Crazy, crazy standards, and then beating myself up when I didn't meet them. And now I have pulled back so much and am expecting myself to be human, which makes a really big difference. Oh my God. Okay, let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Number eight. This is so interesting to me. I'm getting more and more intentional and ritualistic about the way I structure my time. This is from somebody who used to be allergic to schedules. I did not want to think about schedules. But what I'm finding is that the more structured I am, the more ritualistic I become, the better my life goes. So I have a previous episode where I talk all about my morning ritual. And when I follow that morning ritual, everything goes better. So I am continuing to become more and more ritualistic little by little, and that's making a really big difference. I think we're on number nine. I've weeded my friendship garden of narcissists and energy vampires. Oh my God. If you imagine that your friendships, your acquaintances, the people in your circle are like a garden. And some of those people add color or nutrition to your world, right? And some of them are weeds and they're just sucking energy from everything else. And it's really hard to pull those weeds out sometimes, but oh, it is so important. So that's something that I've done in the past, 5 years or something. I've really worked on that and it's made a huge difference. I think we're on number 10. I've become much more intentional about practicing self-compassion. I talk about self-compassion all the time because it is so key. It is so key. Dr. Kristen Neff, who is the world's most foremost researcher on self-compassion, has determined that self-compassion is made up of three components: mindfulness, the ability to kind of step outside of your experience and notice what's going on without getting sucked into the feelings, without diminishing the feelings, but noticing your feelings mindfully. That's the first piece is mindfulness. The second piece is an awareness that your suffering, whatever you're going through, is part of the human condition, that it's not a pathology, that everybody suffers. It's part of being human. You are experiencing something that hundreds, thousands, millions of other people experience as well. And when you can acknowledge that, it's really, really helps knowing that you're not a freak. You're just human. And then the third component is self-kindness, treating yourself lovingly and gently and kindly. We're so trained to beat ourselves up, and it does not help. It doesn't help ever, 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 ever. Treating yourself kindly, treating yourself with self-compassion, oh my gosh, makes all the difference. And I think this is number 11, in the same vein of self-compassion, instead of always trying to be perfect, I, a number of years ago, started to intentionally embrace imperfectionism. Imperfectionism, intentionally letting myself create imperfect things and be an imperfect human. Because the reality is, nothing I create is ever going to be perfect, and I am never going to be a perfect person. So allowing myself to be real, allowing my creations to be imperfect, it's just a kinder, gentler way to live. And it does not mean that you are letting yourself go or being sloppy. It means that you are allowing yourself to be a human. I think we're on number 11. Oh, this is a big one. Instead of always trying to be extraordinary, which is what we fours on the Enneagram are constantly trying to do, it's who we are, I have been really working on accepting and embracing my ordinariness. Does that sound a lot like imperfectionism? Yes, it definitely does. It's been a big challenge, but the more I embrace my ordinariness, I don't have to be extraordinary. Again, it's a kinder, gentler way to live. And then the last one in this list was that thanks to the Great Clutter Bust, which is a program that I ran 3 times last year for the first time, started it last year. We'll be running it again in a group I run, a private group that I'm running right now. Thanks to that Great Clutter Bust, I have been clearing clutter out of my life. So looking back at that list, it all really boils down to my golden formula: self-awareness plus self-compassion equals the key to everything good. And I know you have heard me say this over and over and over again, because really, it really does. Like, everything comes down to this. Self-awareness, it's that mindfulness piece. It's asking, how does this make me feel? Is this helping me? Is this harming me? What do I truly need right now? What am I truly hungry for right now? That's the self-awareness piece. The self-compassion piece is reminding myself that I'm human, that my mistakes are human mistakes, and treating myself with the same kind of loving kindness that I would treat a friend with. So that's the first part of the blog post. Now I want to turn to the question that Mandy ask. This is what she wrote in the comment. Mandy Thompson. Hi, Mandy. Thank you for asking this great question. She wrote, I love your self-love list. I do. When reading over to the first half of this post, which is the part that I just shared with you guys, I couldn't help but wonder how you manage those stretches that require intense effort and big to-do lists, not the everyday pace. I've got an everyday pace, she says, that's similar to yours. I'm talking about the pace of pushing towards an exhibit, which was her life right at the time of writing the comment, or launching a new product, et cetera, et cetera. The big projects that take a lot of time and energy and focus and sit on a deadline. How do you remain all zenned out and balanced in those stretches of time? Well, Mandy, that is a great question, and it's very timely because I just went through one of those periods of time in a really intense way. I joined Gumroad, which is an online platform for people to sell their virtual digital products and things. They ran a 10-day challenge called the Small Product Lab. And I joined that challenge. And it is because of that challenge that I created my Erase the Chaos Toolkit. 99 pages, plus an 18-page workbook that I created. It was largely what they call repurposed content. So I'd done a lot of the writing before, but I had to assemble all of this in 10 days. I didn't have to assemble something quite so large. I didn't make a small product. I made a not small product, which is kind of what I do. Anyway, 10 days from zero to launching a product, followed immediately by three performances in a row, a solo gig at a conference on Friday night. The product launched on the Race of Chaos Toolkit launched on Thursday. I had a solo gig on Friday, so I had to practice for that as well. I had a gig with my improv group, the Bookworms, on Saturday night. And Sunday, I had a solo concert, 2-hour concert, which was also an art show and also required setting up canopies and display walls for my artwork. And it was a really, really big project. We spent hours the week before assessing the space and measuring it and setting up temporary canopies and things. And then we spent hours on Saturday, 3 hours on Saturday setting up the canopies, and then 3 hours on Sunday before the concert. And then I had the concert, and then the concert was from 2 to 4. We didn't get home until 9. It was a long, long day and a long, long couple of weeks, 2 weeks, really, really intense. How did I remain all zenned out and balanced? Well, I did not remain zenned out and balanced. This is one of the things. A life of overall balance, by definition, is going to have to contain some moments of extreme imbalance. And this was one of my moments. There were many things that I put on a shelf for the duration of this product launch, and these performances, these massive projects that were taking up my time. I put a lot of things on the shelf during that time. And I used the tools in my Erase the Chaos Toolkit to help me determine what to put on the shelf, what could wait. Because I wasn't saying no to these things. I was saying not right now, right? So that's really, it comes so much down to prioritizing and figuring out what you can put off, what you can say no, not right now to allow you the space to focus on the big project, right? So that's the first thing. I wasn't balanced. I wasn't zenned out. But what I was I persisted in my rituals. So every day I meditated. I did my morning ritual, even if there might have been one or two days where my meditation was 5 minutes. I think there was one day where my meditation was 2 minutes. I can't remember. But I got in a little bit of meditation, and I got in a little bit of painting. Even if the painting was right before bed, even if it was just 5 minutes, I got in a little bit. And the reason that I was able to do that is that I have an art table that is always there. I have my works in progress sitting on my art table with all my materials out, waiting and ready for me to work at a moment's notice at the drop of a hat. So I can put 2 minutes into a painting at the drop of a hat. In order to be able to take advantage of those nooks and crannies of time to do something creative, to feed your soul, you have to set things up so that you can do that, right? So I have an art table. I also have a music station where I can pop my iPad into a holder and start singing and playing with my looper at any moment. My ukulele hangs on a music stand, on a microphone stand. I can pick it up at any moment and strum a few chords. So those are a couple things that I do. Let's see, what else do I do? You know, I made a really big effort to get myself to bed at a reasonable hour. And I think the latest I got to bed during that entire stretch of the pre-launch for this product, small product lab challenge, there might've been one night where I got to bed at 11:30 or midnight. And that was really late for me, which compared to my former 2 a.m. set point was pretty amazing. So I was really proud of myself. What else? I'm thinking I made sure that I got exercise. I was doing a lot of writing, so that was very easy for me because I was on my treadmill sometimes 4 hours a day. I was walking on my treadmill doing writing and editing. My husband knew what was going on, and thankfully I have an incredibly, incredibly supportive husband, and he was very willing and able and available to offer whatever help or support he could to help me chill out, to help me if I was having some kind of technical issue or to run an errand or something like that. So that was really helpful to have a support system. If you're listening, you may not have a husband who's your support system, but you might have friends or family who can be there for you in the ways that you need. That's really, really helpful as well. So ultimately, you know, I think, Mandy, it so much comes to acknowledging that you are going to be out of balance and putting sort of scaffoldings and support systems in place for yourself so that your period of out of balance-ness doesn't completely suck you dry, so that you are continuing to nourish yourself and give yourself the rest and the exercise and the good nutrition that you need during that period of intensity. And you know, this is a place where we get to practice my golden formula. You get to notice like, oh, well, I didn't do such a good job of that this time. So what can I learn going forward to make it better? Like for me, maybe scale back the product. That's a big issue for me. Doesn't have to be a 99-page book, honey. Oh yeah. Well, you know, we're all learning. We're all learning. This is a leading edge thing for all of us. Anyway, all of those things in the blog post that I wrote, putting those into practice as much as I could. And yeah, allowing myself to be out of balance and doing all the things that I know that sustain me and nourish me and give me energy, and eliminating as much as possible that was going to be a time suck and an energy suck during that period. So hopefully that helps, Mandy. Thank you for asking the question. It's such a great question. It is something that I'm continuing to work on. Always, I do not have all the answers. If anybody listening, if you have suggestions, things that help you, I would love it if you would post it in a comment on this podcast episode. We all learn from each other, right? So that's it. That's a wrap. Thank you so much for joining me today. I hope that you're getting value out of this podcast. And if you are, I would be so grateful if you would leave a review on iTunes. I know I ask you that every single episode. And the reason is because ratings and reviews make a huge difference in how the show is ranked. A week ago Sunday, by the time this is posted, a week and a half ago, something like that, This show hit number one in the self-help category in iTunes New and Noteworthy. That's huge. And the reason that it hit that spot in the charts is purely because of reviews from people like you. That dropped down again because, you know, these things are always in flux, but you can help move it back up the charts just by leaving that review. I would love a 5-star review, of course, but be honest. The thing is that when this podcast appears high up in iTunes, the iTunes store, then that means that other people are more likely to find it. And that helps grow the Creative Uprising. And I know it feels like who cares? Like, why do I care if your podcast goes up in the ranks, Melissa? Well, I want to change the conversation around creative expression and play. And the way to change that conversation is to get as many people as possible involved in that conversation. The more people who are united together around this movement, the creative uprising of saying, yes, creative expression is important, is critical to our health and well-being. The more people who are involved in that, the better we're all going to be, better off we're all going to be. So I would be so grateful if you would leave a review, and it's how you can play an important role in the creative uprising. Also, if you have a question about living a creative life that you would like to hear me address on the show, type it into your review and you might just hear it featured on a future episode. If you would also like your voice on the show, you can go to livecreativenow.com and leave me a voice message. Woohoo! But remember, I give first priority to questions left in reviews on iTunes. So that's it. Thanks again for joining me. And until next time, go get creating.
Live creative now.
Subscribe at livecreativenow.com.